Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Christina, what's your dad's name?
Dave.
Dave?
Yes.
All right, Dave. Here's another one for you. Happy birthday. Christina Lurie joins us on a Friday as we talk about some of the news that she does for us in the uplifting segment of our newsletter. But before we get back to all of that, I do take great pains to point out that there's a lot more to the work that Christina does for us and does include some very poignant news stories, not the least of which is your recent interview with a woman up here in Chippewa Falls, who, as we've talked about many times on this show, is among the many women who are more willing than ever now to share their abortion story so that people understand the real ramifications of what people are debating in political circles, that these are not political issues. These are health issues that have real impact. What was that like getting to talk to Heather Martell, sharing a rather heartbreaking story of hers from a year ago?
Well, I think it's great to bring up that story in this context of a, you know, more good news show as well, because her story on its face, it's, you know, a woman in her mid-30s had an abortion. She had it last year, so before any of this recent Roe Wade stuff happened. And it was still even then considered a late term abortion, and it was not allowed here in Wisconsin. So even though she's from the Chippewa Falls area, she had to drive all the way up to the Minneapolis area to get that abortion. She had to go out of state. So on its face, that's not a super positive story, right? However, you talk to Heather, you hear from her firsthand, and you hear what she's trying to do to help advocate for other women and be so honest about such an intimate emotional story for her. I mean, she was far enough along in her pregnancy that she did not personally want to get abortion. To get an abortion, she medically needed one. Her fetus was having fetal seizures and wasn't going to make it. So, she was so far along, she had plans. She had a name for her child who she knew would have been a son. So it's stories like that of, you know, that make this uplifting news that we're talking about also purposeful, because she had such a positive attitude. And she's doing everything she can on behalf of herself, her family, and Oliver. She keeps an urn with his ashes next to her bedside table. She does everything for them. So she's super outspoken. I know you've even had her right here on this program.
We've heard from her, and she, has that story to tell, and how that can, in fact, be a proactive decision for a parent to make, however heartbreaking it is. And so I did really appreciate the way you helped bring her story to us.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to, in case people aren't familiar with her story, I just wanted to bring up the two aspects that I don't think that you might not have mentioned before on the show. Two things that really stood out was, personally, I was raised in a super Catholic family. And, you know, you're raised and taught that abortions are a sin. And that was something that really stuck out from Heather's story, because she also believed that. She's married to a very devout Catholic man. And, you know, he had those same thoughts as well, as so many people do. And you're meaning well. It's not like we as Catholics are trying to cast the shame on you. That's just what we're told. And hey, like, if you just think about it, it makes sense, right? You know, you're not trying to end lives. You're trying to bring lives into the world. But if you go back and you listen and hear Heather's story, you'd realize why we should probably listen before we always just, you know, project our own beliefs and feelings on someone else. And then just the second thing quickly that really stuck out is that her husband, in addition to being a Catholic, is a Republican. And you don't often see nowadays relationships where one person is a Democrat and one person is a Republican, and they're still married and they still really like each other. So that's a really, she has interesting things to say about that, because they're very much a partnership, and her husband very much respects her and her beliefs, and she respects him and his. And they're able to even find common ground on something as controversial as abortions.
Well, that's just it. Beliefs or values are just that, you know, until they're actually tested in some way, shape, or form. And we again want to thank Heather for sharing that. Christina Loria is joining us on this Friday morning as we talk about some of the stories that she's been working on for us. We already talked a bit about how Special Olympics is going to benefit from a fundraiser event that happened this morning over at Duncan, the law enforcement torch run and the role that it plays in it. And the Packers play tonight. And I believe, were you telling me that there's a tie-in there as well?
Yes. So first, just you have 22 minutes left. So if you happen to be in your car right now and near a Duncan, you can swing by and donate. And anything you chip in, you'll get a coupon for a free donut. And if you donate $10, you'll get a coupon for a free coffee too. And that money all goes to the annual Cop on a Rooftop fundraiser, which has to date raised almost more than $400,000. I think they're nearing on that $500,000 mark for Special Olympics Wisconsin. And tonight the Packers are going to do an awesome job of welcoming some of these Special Olympics athletes to their game. I mean, how exciting is that for those men and women? I mean, this is coming. Hey, we talked about how I'm from Chicago and I'm a Bears fan, and I even understand the excitement and importance of that. So tonight is the annual Packers Give Back game. And so it's between, obviously, Packers are playing the Saints. And this is the second year that they're inviting hundreds of athletes and their family members. They're giving them a free bus ride to the game, food and drink, gift cards at the game, and they get to cheer on the Packers in a designated area in the north end zone. And before kickoff, they're even going to get welcomed on the field. They're going to walk on there with the Special Olympics torch, which you always get chills when you see that Olympic torch, right? And then all the fans in the arena are going to say the athlete oath that we mentioned earlier with those athletes. So if you want to practice, if you're going to the game, it's easy. Three sentences. Let me win. Oh no, only two sentences. I was counting a comma. Let me win. But if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. So that's just a cool feature of tonight's game. So if you're in the Green Bay area, maybe check that out.
It's gonna be great. Let's talk about one of your most recent stories and then one that you're working on. One of the most recent, I tried to put a spin on it from the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and went with If You Give a Class a Calf, because I did not know this was a thing, but apparently it's Adopt a Cow season. Tell us about that.
It is. And I love that you understood that reference when I put that in. You know, you never know as an editor. I'm like, is he going to remove it? Is he a big Lauren Numeroff fan as well?
Oh, I'm gonna out yourself as being too young to understand my musical references soon enough. But go ahead and tell more about Adopt a Cow.
Of course, I hope you get all of my book references, because I have mentioned my dad. My mom's a reading teacher, so I do throw a lot of reading references in my work as well. But yes, the Adopt a Cow program, you can, classrooms actually around the world can register to be a part of this. And basically what it is, it's free. You just fill out this form online, and any teacher can do this, any principal. You can do it even if you're a Girl Scout troop leader or Cub Scouts. And it's called Adopt a Cow. We have a link on our website if you're interested. And what you do is they pair your classroom with a local Wisconsin farm who is raising a calf, and you basically follow that calf through the first year of her. I think all calves are girls, right? That's something I...
No. Calves are just junior cows of all, junior cattle of all sort.
Okay, great. Again, I'm from Illinois, not need to brush up on this Wisconsin jargon and learn more about calves, but
you're doing fine.
maybe I'll sign up for this Adopt-A-Cow program, since I obviously need this lesson. But you basically,
I know Luke was interested. We can see if the show can maybe Up North News can adopt a calf. I don't know.
I want one so bad.
I can hook you guys up. So maybe I'll do that right after the show, but you basically follow them through the first year of their life and they send you pictures along the way. They send you information. They let you know how big they are right now, what they're eating, how they spend their days, how many hours they're sleeping versus eating. You know, they break that all that down for you. And it's the important thing is that it connects classrooms to parts of, you know, their community that they might not often get out into. You know, there are so many rural farms here in Wisconsin, but if you live in a city, whether it's Madison, Milwaukee, anywhere else, you know, you might not come across these calves in your daily life. So it's cool to learn where your food and milk comes from and, you know, some lifelong lessons along the way.
Here's a new lesson for you to learn. A female calf is sometimes called a heifer calf. Okay. A male is referred to as a bull calf. So both genders are calves, and sometimes they go on to be called veal instead. But that's a story for another day. Let's stick with how they grow up and some of them become dairy cows, providing the milk that we have with our cookies. And that takes us to what you're working on next, which is Girl Scout cookies and how they are a dynamic bunch. I mean, yeah, some people get the same Thin Mints year after year after year, but there's more to them than that when it comes to the palette of flavors that they have.
Definitely. What a smooth segue there. It's almost like you're experienced in this. So this week, the Girl Scouts announced their new cookie flavor is going to be Raspberry Rally. So it's basically described as a sister cookie to the Thin Mint. It looks very, very similar to those. And that's on purpose. I think they're trying to make something that might stick around this time, because you might have noticed, like, the Girl Scouts, they introduce new flavors almost every year, and they routinely cycle in and out. You know, some last for 2 years, some get cut after three, but, you know, it's that 2 to 3 year window. And, you know, it's just a flash in the pan. So this one, I think they're hoping to stick around, but that just sent me down a deep dive, because, hey, who doesn't like cookies and doing their research on those? That's right. A hard job, right? So I'm currently working on a whole list of all of the, I've called it the Girl Scout cookie graveyard, the flavors Wisconsin Scouts have sold over the years. And so far, I think I found more than 40 so far.
Really?
Do you remember? I was a Girl Scout. So I was a scout in the early 2000s. I was, you know, standing outside my local Walgreens, and my favorite cookies at the time were called Animal Treasures. They were a shortbread cookie, and then on the bottom, they were coated with chocolate, and they, you know, had pictures on the front of endangered species. So that's probably what stuck out to me as a kid and why I liked them. But they lasted for about 4 years, and then they turned into a lot of times the Girl Scouts, they don't necessarily get rid of a cookie completely. They just reinvent it. So they branded it in a pretty smart way. They actually called them Thanks-a-lots. So they replaced the animals on the front with like a thank you message, which, you know, is pretty smart, because if you're a scout, you can, you know, maybe your parents will encourage their scouts to buy a couple extra boxes and attach them to everyone's order as a way to say thank you. I thought that was really smart branding, and those were super popular, and I think they lasted until 2014, and then those got discontinued as well. Hmm. Do you remember any former flavors, or is one of the currents your favorite, Pat?
There, the couple that I recall that didn't make it, there was a toothpaste flavored cookie. There was mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, there's just some of the oddball things that they tried. No, I'm not serious about either one of those, but I remember when they're called both Samoas and Caramel Delight.
Yes.
Depending on, you know, where you get them from. And I remember when they were brand new, and I was in love, and I have never gone back. I mean, that's all I get, is I just stock up on that. Maybe the token box of Thin Mints. But yeah, I'm a rigid creature of habit, but now I will have to try a couple of these new ones once they become available. And Christina's story will be coming out soon on that. So this was fun. Thank you. Let's do it again soon.
It was great. And I know we almost have to go to break. If I slid in a fun fact, Thin Mints never can be gotten rid of. Those are permanently on the Girl Scout menu, but Samoas are not permanent. They could be in jeopardy of being retired someday.
Not with my purchasing power. They wouldn't.
That's why. Yeah, you got to make sure you stay up on that.
I know. All right, Christina, thanks so much. Talk to you a little later. Have a great day. All right, we will be back to wrap up our conversation with you in just a moment. You're up, North.